The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell, the largest and most popular upsell app in the Shopify marketplace, trusted by over 11,000 users, over 1,900 Shopify Plus stores. Man, it is hard to get people to your store these days, whether you're doing organic or whether you're trying to get down in the muck that is Facebook ads these days with the disaster that that has become. You want to take advantage when people actually show up. And if you give people a chance, 1 in 6 will spend more money with you if you send them a personalized, targeted, relevant upsell offer, which is what OneClick Upsell makes it super easy to do. You can do it pre-purchase, post-purchase, give them lots of different options. It makes it incredibly easy, and they've helped store owners generate over $200 million in additional revenue. So if you want a slice of that and you want to get started, you can get started really quickly with them in just a few minutes, get your first upsell up and running. Check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping 7- and 8-figure brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And today on the show, joined by Christine Mims, who is the owner of CoachPony.com. They help coaches sell more to their clients and become more effective coaches, as well as RevolutionaryClub.com, where they help smart people find their passion. And not exactly you're an e-commerce entrepreneur, which is the kind of the standard guest on the show. But the reason I was excited to have Christy on was to talk about a couple of things, a couple slightly different ways to market a business. She's got a ton of experience with something called the Sphere of Influence marketing method. And we're going to dive into what that means. But she also has been thinking a lot about marketing off social media and offline. How do you build a business in real life with people, with connections? And we had I wish I could just copy and paste the conversation we had offline before we hit record about it, because it was fantastic. But we'll do our best to recreate. Yeah, Christy, thank you for coming on. Appreciate you being here and excited to dive in on this.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here. And I will say for all the e-commerce people, I do sell a lot of digital products. So I do understand the old shopping cart.
So. Oh, shoot. I sold you short right out of the gates.
I'm here. I'm so excited for e-com. I'm in the trenches with you guys.
I did a very poor job of talking about CoachPony, and RevolutionaryClub.com. Can you give people a little more depth on what those businesses are before we dive into the total geek out on marketing?
Yeah, sure. So Revolutionary Club is where I started. I started out as a career coach doing what you'd consider as typical coaching, one-on-one services with people, helping them find their passion. And then we scaled it up and started moving into e-com products, digital products to help people really figure that stuff out. And I focused my attention on Coach Pony because coaches kept asking me, hey, how did you become successful and support yourself as a coach? And they were all like, can I pick your brain? And I said, I really don't have time for all these calls, but maybe I'll write a blog if that would be helpful. And they were like, yes. And that turned into a free Facebook group, which turned into CoachPony.com. And we just decided we needed a safe space for coaches to talk about the business of coaching and how to get paid to coach in a way that wasn't sleazy or skeevy and like really honestly, hey, here's what's happening, here's what's working, here's what's not. And so it's this turned into this big site and this big community for coaches.
Do you work with or have as part of that community and clients, executive coaches or coaches that coach entrepreneurs? Guessing you do.
We do. Every coach, every niche is welcome. And yeah, we have a ton of both business coaches and executive and corporate coaches.
I got an executive coach for the first time ever this year, and just kind of the beginning phases of that. We'll likely do some episodes on that in the future. What coaches can be incredibly helpful. Massive unlocks for your potential, for your limiting mindsets, for all these kind of things. They can also be, if you pick poorly, like any hire or profession or anything, they can be probably not worth the money and or the time. So you've got the spectrum. What makes a really good coach for someone who's listening, who wants to get plugged in with someone who can help them with their business and their personal life? Like what are the things they should really be looking for, and what are some of the red flags?
Oh, this is a great question. So things you should look for are a couple things. First and foremost, you need to have chemistry with your coach. You need to like their style, because especially if it's a one-on-one relationship, obviously you'll be spending time with them, and how they speak and how they think needs to resonate with you. So, go to their website. If they have a free product or blogs or book or whatever it might be, see what they've got available, a podcast, listen to it, engage with it, and see if you even like them. If you do, check out... Well, it's personality-based.
No. It's I'm sorry. Forgive me for laughing. Like, you're 100% right. It just sounds so obvious, but I wouldn't have thought about that. But yes, I've been involved with people in the past like that, giving advice. And it's really hard, even if what they're saying is right, if their style just grinds into your soul in a terrible way, it's so hard to help have them be effective.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly right. And what someone might love, someone else might hate. And that's the beauty of why there's always a place for every new coach, is it's such a personality game. Second thing is, when you're there, whether you're listening to a podcast, reading the book, looking at their blog, do they teach you something? Do they make you think differently? Mm-hmm. Do they give you something? Because if they do, in that content that's free, they're almost certainly going to add to your life in real life when you get into working with them. So if you get something positive from their materials that they're sharing, that's a really good sign. And then finally, look at their testimonials, look at their case studies. If they have none, that's a red flag. You know, if the case studies, and this is something that happens to newer coaches, are really vague, it's like, John M. said, this was super helpful. And that's all. Like, that's a little dangerous. If the case studies or testimonials are not in the niche in which you want help, like, that's another red flag. So just look a little bit more closely at that stuff. I mean, sometimes, and I want to sell new coaches short, there's a lot of new coaches out there who are brilliant at what they do, and they might not have testimonials yet. So that's why I say, if you like them and if you feel like their free materials and other stuff that they're sharing make you feel really good, then schedule a consult, a chemistry fit with them, you know, sit down and actually chat with them and then see how you feel. And do they have a plan for you? Do they have an approach? Do you feel good on the call? Does it make sense to you? Do you, you know, you should, if you feel worried or anxious, don't sign up. Like, listen to yourself. And then at that point, you'll probably make the decision, a good decision for you. And I recommend, the final thing is to look at a couple of different coaches. Try to talk to a couple of different coaches and more than just one, because we're all so different. Whether it's private, group, whatever, every coach is so different, and you'll learn a lot, but you'll also get a better sense for what works for you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Any specific recommendations? And again, hyper-focused on, I feel like this is kind of a tall ask coming just ad hoc, but entrepreneurs running businesses, so business or executive coaches, especially in the e-commerce space, although I think just business in general would probably work. Because a lot of times, like, I found my coach through a referral, someone I knew, I asked them, apart from referrals, is there any great place to go find coaches with any high, you know, reasonable degree of quality or filtering?
Oh, that's a good question. And the answer is not really. There are some directories, but there's no guarantee that those coaches are going to be good. What I would look for in executive coaching, I'd look for a CPC, certified professional coach, with a certain amount of experience. So they're ICF certified, probably. With a business coach, it's a little bit different. It would still be great if they were a CPC, but you might, of course, would also look at like what their business background is. The way to find them, that is tough, because referrals is usually the way people find executive coaches of any type. Networking and referrals is definitely number one. Number two is like asking someone like me, who sits on a pile of coaches as my living. But I'm going to have to think about that a little bit more, because there is no clear directory. You could ask the coaching schools, but I'm not sure you'd have to agree with how they do things. So yeah, let me think about that. If I come up with a better answer by the end of this, I will tell you.
Let's dive into, so the reason we originally got connected by a mutual friend, started talking about community. But one thing that you lit up about and we're very excited about was this thing called SOI, or Sphere of Influence funnel. And I'm always interested in learning about kind of different, it was something I'd never heard about, not familiar with, but I'd never even heard about it in online marketing. And so I'd love to hear what it is, if you can give us kind of the broad strokes in a minute or two. What is it? And yeah, maybe just the broad strokes. What is Sphere of Influence and how do you use it in your business?
So I want to first be upfront and say this is not my idea. And so I learned about this through Andre Chaperon, whose name I hope I'm pronouncing correctly. I don't know. He had a business called Tiny Little Businesses, which has since evolved into, I think, the modern marketing system. But he was the one who really incepted this idea of Sphere of Influence. And I first read about it on his website. And it's the idea that you create a sphere of influence instead of, we often think of sales as pushy. Like, you push people into buying. With Sphere of Influence, the idea is that you gently pull people towards you, because you create such amazing content that just gives them exactly what they need. And it's so good that they cannot help but continue to take the next step with you, that they want more. And there's pr- probably a better way of explaining it, but that's sort of simply how I think about it. This just, you're just so good at what you do, and you give them such clear help, and that the help is strategic and it gently pulls them into you, that they want to work with you. There's more to the strategy than that, but that's like the super high level. So you don't push sales, you pull people in.
Got it. So, and I intentionally didn't do a ton of research on sphere of influence. This sounds like a very easy cop-out for me, but intentionally didn't, so I could ask questions. And I had asked questions kind of from like a very naive perspective, which is, I'm guessing a lot, not that the audience is naive, but probably less familiar with this. I always assumed that this was more of just kind of a strategy for long form sales pages. Like, people land on your website, and we'll go through your web page in just a minute here and kind of break it down. But so it's more than just the methodology or the copywriting on your web page. It's like a full on philosophy in terms of how you market in general.
Yeah, it is. If you really, it is both things. It is a very specific tactical web strategy for sure, but it is also a full on marketing philosophy, in that you put content in the world that pulls people into your sphere of influence. And again, they go deeper and deeper. And at the end is usually a program or an offer or a product that they can't help but buy, because they've been convinced by everything you've put out there and you've gently pulled them towards it. But yeah, so everything you create sort of pulls people into your sphere, if that makes sense, if you're like embracing it at the highest level. And then at just the tactical level, yeah, you create a very specific series of web pages that walks people through a specific experience to get to the point where you agree that you both agree that they need your help.
this is primarily what you use for your businesses. And do you use this as kind of the medium for 90% of 90, what percentage of your business or the people that come through your business go through this process? And what does that process look like? Maybe you could walk us through the customer journey, if you would.
Yeah, let me back up for a second. In my business, this is what we use for our education and sales funnel, essentially, sphere of influence. And it exists as a series of web pages. And the way we get people there is through ad traffic. And I would argue that 80% of people who become clients, maybe more, have gone through the sphere of influence before they purchase.
So you've got, let's say you're running ads, Facebook ads, I'm guessing?
No, Google ads. I almost never run Facebook ads anymore. Only at very specific times of year when we're doing like a live webinar or an event. But for all of our evergreen stuff, it's always Google ads. And sphere of influence is wonderful for Google ad, for all your people out there who do this, because Google likes it when people spend a lot of time on your website. That tells Google that your content is good. And the way the sphere of influence is set up is it's several connected web pages that people are reading. So they're spending a ton of time on your website. And I love it because for me, you know, the difference between Facebook and Google is Facebook's a commercial and Google is when people are actually searching for help. And I would prefer to be the solution to the problem that they're having rather than the interruption to their day. So that's why we really double down on Google. They're searching for help and then they find the beginning of our sphere of influence.
Cool. So I'm on a page right now. It says, Bob, you can't be serious. You're a life coach. That's a real thing, which I'm guessing probably people get sometimes. People don't pay for life coaching, part one. Okay, give me, so I for if you're listening, there's just, yeah, a little dialogue box here. It looks like two little horses are chatting with each other, well-designed, and a title that says, people don't pay for life coaching, part one. Let's talk about how to sell coaching services. And then as I scroll down, I would say, I wouldn't say long form like old school sales page, but it's got headings, a good amount of text. Let's back up for a second. There's kind of a narration about somebody who was.
Yeah. It's not a sales page. It would be more like a blog. That's like, if anyone's listening and can't see it, it looks like more like a blog post with a recap at the bottom.
Yeah. And you've got some good titles. You've got some good animated GIFs here and things. Key points to keep in mind as you eat chocolate. People don't pay for life coaching. If they did, we'd all have millions of clients and a pile of diamonds. Good news, there's no magic bullet or fancy ad that you need to run to get paying clients. The secret is to do it as absurdly simple. The secret is absurdly simple, but it's a distinct shift from what you've been taught. So, and then there's a big orange continue button here. So I kind of did a bad job of giving people the scope, but so this is what you drive traffic to when people come from Google.
Yeah. So in its most tactical form, a sphere of influence is a series of interconnected web pages that pull people deeper into your world by teaching them something that they weren't expecting, but also by changing their belief system along the way so that their beliefs begin to align with your beliefs. And my belief, of course, is that people need my help to build coaching businesses, and that I have a specific way to do it that's concrete, focuses on 5 core business systems, and that if you just go out there and sell life coaching, you're not going to get any clients. You need to understand these 5 systems, and you need to set them up in your business and get business training, and ideally my business training, if you want to succeed. And so these interconnected web pages are going to introduce all of these ideas and teach people that. And what it does, and the reason I say it pulls people to you, is that a lot of coaches wonder about how to get paid. Right? That's the biggest question life coaches have. Mm-hmm. So what you like to do with a sphere of influence is really teach them, give them a new bold idea that they might not have thought about before, because this really helps set you apart as a teacher. Mm-hmm. And it also helps, again, start the process of changing their beliefs so that they align with mine, right? And the belief that like people have is that, oh, people pay for life coaching. And I'm like, no, they don't. And I truly believe this, by the way. This isn't me just coming up with stuff. This is based in like what I truly believe as a coach and as a business owner, that people pay for the results of life coaching. They pay for what life coaching gives to them. So the first page of the sphere is starting to introduce this idea that what you believe to be true about becoming a life coach is actually wrong. And I explain why it's wrong. And so therefore I'm demonstrating my credibility. And then I say, hey, let me show you what is actually true. And then they click continue to see the next thing. And that's a micro commitment. Right? I'm pulling them deeper by clicking continue. They're giving me a micro commitment that they want more. And it kind of makes them more committed to reading more too and come deeper into my world, right? There's no opt-in here. There's no pain in the butt to gated material. They can see all of it, but they just have to say yes and click continue to do it. And so then they'll see what's next, which is what people actually pay for.
Interesting. Okay. So really, introduce a new, almost contrarian idea about how the world they believe to be true is different than what is actually true. And then cause them to actually click, even if you're just clicking a button, get them to opt in the tiniest little way into coming along for the ride by clicking continue.
Yep.
Okay. Great. So I click continue here. So now we're on page 2. I tried to describe it first. I think you are much more qualified to describe this page for people listening. So I'm going to let you go ahead and do that.
Yeah. So again, it's another blog page, right? I'm really all about sort of humor and funny. So we put another pony cartoon at the top, kind of mocking life coaches, because like, that's what we hear as life coaches. I firmly believe it's such an important thing to have. Please get yourself a coach if you need one. But like, we understand there's a lot of beliefs out there. So page 1 introduced the idea that people don't pay for life coaching. Page 2 is like, okay, well, what do they pay for? Right? What is it that you really need to be focused on if you're a new coach? So now I'm teaching them this idea that people pay for the results. Right? They pay for what life coaching gives them. And so this is a blog page that just expands on that idea. Like, you know, what do I mean by a result? What does that actually look like in different coaching niches? And why is that important? And why does it work? And so here I'm also introducing some stories from my own business with actual sales figures showing what changed when I realized this for myself, right? Because a lot of coaches, and this is particular to coaches, are out there selling like clarity and abundance. No one wants clarity and abundance. They want clarity about if they should quit their job, right? That's what they want clarity about. So you got to really get specific. And I also give an example on this page from Apple, because Apple's phenomenal at advertising and messaging. And so like, you know, they're able to really meet people where they are. Like if you want to make your, like we often buy something because it makes us feel a certain way, right? Mm-hmm. Especially luxury goods, which iPhones are, and coaching is as well. And so with a luxury good like the iPhone, you know, Apple does things like you can be your own filmmaker, you know? And so if you have this idea that you think it would be really cool to make films, Apple's right there with you. Or like you can save the planet because we're, you know, on your Apple phone is made from sustainable materials or something. Like they're able to really appeal to what people want and how they want to feel. I want to feel like I'm giving back to the planet and I'm cool, right? Which is why I want to buy an iPhone. There's more than just I want to buy a phone. If I wanted to buy a phone, I could buy the cheapest Motorola flip phone from 2007, right? That would still be a phone. But what I want is the iPhone's going to make me feel cooler, or like I'm doing something for my career, or like I'm cutting edge, or like I'm like a really good person because I'm helping the planet or something. And coaching is the same. So that's the final idea that I introduced, that coaching is a luxury. And therefore, it's not just about what people people, what you think people want. It's about what they actually do want and how that makes them feel. And we have to understand that. So I'm showing, like, I'm really demonstrating why, like, I've made this statement, people don't buy coaching. Now here's what they buy. And now I'm illustrating it in a bunch of different ways than introducing these new ideas. Right. So wow. That's what this second page is about. And I try to back it up with data and different examples to really show people what I'm talking about. So you'll see that on the page as well.
Yeah. You've got kind of some anecdotes about, like you mentioned, iPhones. You've got some proof about what happened in your business. I think this is your proof from the revenue in your business, how it increased.
Yeah.
So, okay. So this actually works. And here's what people actually believe. So you're kind of diving and explaining the disconnect that you mentioned in the first part and showing some social proof about how this disconnect and applied properly can actually improve your life, whether that's as a coach that wants to be successful or as, you know, maybe someone who, I don't know, has on the e-commerce side has a product that can change their life.
And there's one other thing that everyone has to do as part of this process is you have to think about what are people objecting to with your product. With your industry, what are people saying? Oh, no, I'm not going to do that. And why do they say that? And so in life coaching, what people object to is if I say, oh, you have to sell what life coaching can do, they're like, well, life coaching is different for everyone. There's no agenda, all this other stuff. This is what we're taught in school. And I'm like, okay, well, actually, that doesn't work in real life. People don't want to pay. Like their objection is like, I can't sell a result because that's not what we're about. And I'm like, well, yeah, but people aren't going to pay for that. And I need to show you that. Right. So I need to like think about what is going to make them say no to these ideas. And then I need to address that. So that's the other thing about sphere of influence is you're really thinking about you're really inside their mind and just thinking about what is their whole buying process? Where might they get stuck or say, I don't know about this. And then if they say, I don't know, what are they worried about? And how can I address that upfront?
Got it. And for writing, did you write all this? Did you hire a great copywriter to write this? Who wrote this?
I wrote all of this. And this was the greatest thing I did for my business in terms of you can hire a copywriter for sure, but everyone, you should do this yourself because you're forced to think about the strategy of your business and lay it out in a very specific way. And as a CEO and owner, like you're the best person to do this. And so like, I like writing, so I was happy to write this too, but like you absolutely should lay it out and write the first draft yourself. I think any business owner should, because you're going to do the best job.
Did you iterate on it quite a bit? Like, did you use any A/B testing? Did you write it and just have people give you feedback? Like how did you refine it?
This SOI is actually SOI 3. There's an SOI 1 and an SOI 2 out there, which you can't see. Because they were fine and they actually did okay, but this one did so much better. So it took me 3 iterations to kind of really like crystallize the teaching points that I needed to get across in the order that made sense in a way that was compelling and to address the objections that I needed to address, et cetera, et cetera. And so basically the first 2 pages are like, why don't people buy is one. And then like, what are they buying instead is 2. And then 3 is, okay, well, what do you need to create to sell coaching? And so now I'm like, now I'm getting even deeper into the system. So as they click through the next page, they'll start to see, okay, here's what we have to now do. Now, if you agree with me on this and if you keep clicking continue, you probably do, or at least are interested. Then I introduce my philosophy as a coach, right? So now I've addressed some of the big problems and big things that people might object to. And now I'm like, okay, well, here's the answer. And it's specific to me. So let me explain my philosophy and what sets me apart.
Very cool. So page 3, we're on here now. You still got the two horses at the top, kind of some more humor and fun stuff. So all I have to do is follow the system ? The other horse says, will it work for Henry Ford? And then you've got the amazing power of systems in life coaching part 1. And then why don't you, if you would, take it from here and explain this third page, which I'm scrolling through slowly on YouTube if you can see it. But if not, we can get the step-by-step from you.
Yeah. So this idea of life coaching, especially with the business of coaching, when you go to coaching schools, they're often like, and you get certified as a coach, they do a great job of teaching you skills. But then they say, just go out and tell your story and clients will come, or like get on social media. And that's super vague. And so all of the business building advice for coaches, almost all of it, that's a generalization, but is very, very vague, or it's do what I do and that'll work for you, which is a lie because we all have different skill sets and interests. What I do might not work for you in the sort of tactical, very tactical, granular method. So what I teach is like I study businesses, and coaching businesses are still businesses. So we need to build some really core systems. Every business is made up of systems. So I identified the ones that are specific to coaches. And I elaborate on what those 5 systems are. And the idea that I want to communicate on this page, which is true, is that if you build these five systems in your coaching business, you'll be able to create a steady stream of clients, which means a steady stream of predictable income, which is what we all want as entrepreneurs, right? We want to be able to predict our income. So that's what this page is all about. I show some examples from my business of sort of why systems are important and what they look like in a way to make coaching feel more tangible. And I also start to give the example. I think it's here. Do you see Henry Ford on this page anywhere else? It's been a second since I've looked at this SOI in detail.
Let's see. I see the Model Ford at the very top. Yes, there's halfway down, there's like a picture of the Model A coming off the assembly line.
Yeah. So like, I use the example of Henry Ford because it's one I think almost everyone's familiar with, right? Before him, there was no systematized way of building cars. And once he built the assembly line, Ford, within just a few years, took over 50% of car sales. Like they just blossomed and just took over the industry. And people also really liked it because they knew exactly what they were going to get with Ford. They understood like the reliability, credibility, safety of the Ford because of these systems that he built. And so the same is true of coaching, obviously different systems, and it's not an assembly line by any means. But this is what I'm trying to tell people, that there's a different way to build your business. And if you're feeling lost or like things aren't working in your business, this is also why. So I'm using Ford as the example to help people kind of understand the concept. And I'm introducing this concept of systems.
So playing devil's advocate here, the copy is really good. You're walking people systematically through something, but we also live, there's a lot of text here. I mean, we are on page 3. I'm just estimating we're probably 4,000, maybe 3,000 words in. We live in an era of TikTok where 15 seconds is, you know, a long viewing time, attention spans, et cetera. How are you giving up an entire, I mean, you're not asking for any opt-in. You're playing the long, long game here.
Yeah.
Is that getting less relevant as people's attention spans wane these days? And is it better to get their email opt-in up front and then drip this to them over time? Why take this approach when attention can be lost so easily?
Yeah, well, two things. Remember, this isn't my marketing system. This is my education system. So presumably people who click through are at least somewhat interested and more likely to give time. Second is I really want to qualify people, right? Only a small percentage of people who ever see your stuff are going to purchase. So this is a way of qualifying people before they get invited to do anything else and really making sure that they like me, they like my style, they think I have something to teach, and it shows my expertise and credibility. So it's a cheap, free way to qualify people without using any of my time. But to your point, it's like not, I mean, a huge chunk of people never make it through every page. Obviously, there's still two more pages. So we lose people. And that's why we have an exit intent. Right. And so the exit intent takes people to a free video training that it's not running right now because as we record this, we're in the middle of a launch. So we're really promoting our Build Your Real Business program, which is awesome. Everyone should join if you're a coach. But the exit intent is to a free video training because some people do like shorter, faster, more personal. And so this pulls them in and gets them a little bit interested. And then if it's too much, they can get invited to join us in another way.
Got it. And then for follow-ups, I mean, qualifying people, if you're qualifying people and everything is digital and everything is automated, you don't, the qualifying people is important, but it's more important if you have a manual time intensive process at the back end to follow up with customers or potential prospects. So do you do something for people that are qualified? Like I'm sure you can purchase at the end of this. For people who don't purchase but drop off, then do you create, I'm guessing, like that's your highly relevant retargeting audience, or do you call them, or how do you leverage the fact that, okay, these 100 people from today were wildly qualified?
Yeah. So the wildly qualified people who opt in at the end get put in a specific automated sales campaign. But for the people who maybe drop off, if they opt, they have to opt into the video. So there's no more just look without giving us your email address. And so then they get segmented into a different nurture thing. And of course, then our website traffic gets segmented into a remarketing ad campaign as well. So we try to get them in, you know, some way or another if they don't make it all the way through. But yeah, I just think it's important. It keeps our ad costs way down doing it this way, right? Mm-hmm. Because it really warms up traffic in some way. And we have so many ways to catch them on the site if they don't like this, or if it's too much for them at this moment. And then we can follow up with them over, you know, through a remarketing ad or through an email if they sign up for something else. There's other ways in. But it just, because people spend some time on the site, just even reading the first page, it makes ad traffic so cheap. And so then we're able to just drive so much traffic to the site.
Got it. So page 4, the amazing power of systems and life coaching part two. I'm guessing this is just a continuation of what you had before in terms of talking about.
Yeah. Page three introduces the idea of systems and kind of gives like the Ford example. Page four is about, okay, here's what the systems are for coaches. So let me just give you the systems, right? And this is again about like, I'm not trying to be someone who keeps my best stuff completely hidden. Like, let me help you in whatever way that I can, whether you work with me or not, this will be helpful to you.
Great.
With the hope that, again, coaches might even share it, right? This is another way for them, like, hey, this was really useful. These pages have been shared quite a bit. So it's another way of free marketing too.
Got it. Let's see. Hi, I'm Hope. I love the humor that's interspersed here. There's a woman that is introducing herself as Hope, and there was some cheeky copy about how she's the manifestation of hope here. I'm a success. Okay, so we got page five. I know this is where you're starting to get. So now you're starting to drip the social proof from the people who have taken your program into this. This is page. We're at page five now. Probably 5,000 words in. What else is on this page that is important to take note of?
So here's something interesting that I do. I tell them what I'm doing. I'm like, man, I'm selling to you right now. And I'm like, I make it clear. I'm like, you are in my system. You are in my education system and you're about to enter my sales system. Like, this is what's happening right now to you. Are you enjoying this process? Because if you are,
you
definitely want to work with me, right? Like, because it's just showing that I know what I'm doing, right?
Yeah.
And I'm also qualifying that for many of us, there's no such thing as passive income. I don't believe like you all have to work for it no matter what you do. But I am also qualifying that like these systems can be automated and that means you can have a life as a coach. And so I'm also demonstrating some credibility that way of times when I've been like drinking wine with friends and making sales, you know, and doing things. But yeah, so I'm actually just like showing them what's behind the curtain to just demonstrate, you know, the business of it all.
Hey, it's Andrew here with a quick aside. If you're listening to this episode and enjoying it, then I've got to tell you about our private community for 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brands. The secret sauce, as the name implies, is that everyone inside, we vet everyone to make sure they have real-world experience running an e-commerce brand and struggle with the same kind of things that you do if that's the position you're in. And why is that important? Well, it means you get fast, on-point answers to your most important questions. So if you've got somebody that HR issue and you're worried about letting someone go, but you're worried about a lawsuit or you're trying to figure out the best ERP to implement or maybe you're trying to understand marketing techniques, you can post a message to our form and get answers within hours, sometimes minutes, from experts who know this stuff. You get to plug into an amazing network of e-commerce entrepreneurs worldwide across the United States and the globe that you can connect with when you're traveling for meetups and get invites to member-only events like ECF Live. And then finally, you can avoid costly hiring and software mistakes by tapping into our review directory of over 10,000 reviews for agencies and e-commerce software tools. I mean, it's really hard to find unbiased reviews online right now. So often they're either paid for or they're affiliate links. All of our reviews are completely unbiased. So when you go down the road of hiring a new ad agency or looking for that new, you know, ERP software, you have a lot more confidence that you're not going to be wasting the next 3 or 4 months of your life on an expensive project. So if that sounds interesting to you, come join us. You can learn more and apply ecommercefuel.com, and we'd love to have you inside. All right, let's get back to the discussion. You have such a good natural voice. I mean, I've been online and doing content with e-commerce too, at least for a decade. And I feel like I'm finally starting to get to the point where I can feel a little more comfortable, like really just not dropping the filter. And if people don't like it, well, tough, go somewhere else kind of thing. But you have a really natural voice. Humor flows through naturally. Like you make jokes about, you know, poke fun at the industry of life coaches, you know, the wine thing. Did that take a while? Like this is your third version. Was that a hard thing to develop or did that flow for you right from the gates, out of the gates?
I would say, I mean, I've been writing now for almost 12 years. And so the Revolutionary Club, which predates Coach Pony, I have some really stilted, blogs, poorly written, just some, I mean, if go you guys, Revolutionary Club, way back machine 2012, just go give yourselves a laugh. But so it took some time to develop and developing the Coach Pony voice, which is slightly different from the Revolutionary Club voice, took a little bit more time. I got a little bit more relaxed. So I didn't come up with it right away, but I definitely was very comfortable in who I want. I just thought about who do I want to be and like, what about myself do I feel like I either can't hide and, or I think would be helpful. And so like, I'm long-winded. I can't hide that. So I'm going to like lean into writing that way. And then like, I have a weird sense of humor. And so I'm like, I'm just going to lean into that too. You know, and I'm a little bit snarky sometimes. I'm like, I'm just going to lean into that. That's who I am. And it's a little bit different in this space because there's a lot of like earnestness and there's a lot of like woo-woo-ness in the coaching space. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm going to be the person who's like concrete and humorous. Like, so I thought about that before I started writing about like what I really wanted to highlight about myself and my voice. And that helped me too.
Very cool. So we're at the very bottom and it's we're getting close to the end here. It says there's only one page left. Continue to the last page. All right. So we're going to the last page in the process. This is the clincher, right? This is where you're closing the deal. Feel free to kind of direct me to where you'd like me to scroll, but talk me through this, which you've done a lot of the foundational work, but this is where you've got to close the deal. So how are you doing that?
So with this is basically what I would call a short sales page. It does not look like a blog page. This is more of a actual sales page, and it highlights some key stuff about the program, but it still doesn't give the price. This is where you have to opt in because now we're going to sell you something. And so you have to give us your email address if you're in, and then you're going to start an automated sales sequence immediately. And you'll get to see the full sales page for the program as well as the price.
Got it. So you've got kind of the phase one, phase two. Here's the systems you get. Barb comes with, here's what it comes, training, community, lots of support, help for any niche, tons of confidence. You've got a testimonial here.
I've got a slider.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Got it. So you've got people. I imagine at this point for people that are really excited, how much do you see a pretty strong number of people who sign up for this, opt in with their email? I'm guessing you probably send them that sales page where they can sign up and pay right away. Do you see a pretty high percentage of people give you their email, wait for that email, click on it, and immediately go over and purchase?
No, they usually purchase on like the second or third day.
Really? That surprises me.
Yeah, because the price, they don't have any idea of what it costs. The program is $3,000, just to be clear. So it's not like they're purchasing. It's not an easy $50, $100, $200 purchase. I think if it was, people would buy immediately.
Yeah.
But no, it's a year-long intensive program. And so both the time and the cost, and they don't have any idea, no reference on how much it's going to cost at this point. So they need to think about it. And I got to actually sell them.
Got it. And we won't go through that obviously for timing reasons on the email side and other things, but what is on the email drip side, what are the one or two things you really do to try to help justify to them, hey, this is a great investment in your career over those 2 days?
So because I recognize that most coaches have never owned a business before, I talk to them about the ROI, because coaches don't think about that in that way as new business owners. So I'm like, hey, it's $3,000. That's 1 to 2 clients. You're with us for a year. How many clients do you think you're going to get in a year? Right? Like, we'll support you the whole way. So imagine, and I do the math for them too. I'm like, let's do different pricing models. And so I can really show them like, hey, this is an investment that will pay for itself, as it should. I believe any business program should pay for itself. If it doesn't, I don't think it's a good business program. I mean, assuming you do the work, obviously. If you don't do the work, you can't expect it to pay for itself. But yeah, so that's one of the big things that I do. The other is I really try to connect more closely with them. So the first part of the SOI itself is a lot of teaching and addressing these bigger ideas and philosophies. But in the email sequence, I'm just trying to be like, I know you're here. You're like, I really connect with their pain and their struggle. I'm like, I see you. You're sitting in front of your computer. You're wondering, do I post on Facebook? Is that even a thing? Should I be doing a TikTok dance? Like, what should I be doing? No one seems to be responding. And I'm really like, I don't know what to do. So I really try to meet them there in that email communication. I'm like, okay, you know, this is where you are. Let's talk about where you want to be.
TikTok dancing isn't like a super popular way to get clients for the coaching.
Weirdly, no.
That's surprising. I thought that would have been like a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's shocking.
That's fascinating. Thank you for walking us through that. Just the psychological journey that you have people take along the whole way. And it's persuasion, but it's also, it's not just, at the very beginning, I thought like, well, this just kind of sounds like content marketing where you're just sharing, but it's not really, it's more nuanced than that. It's yes, you're educating, but you're also setting up like, okay, here's what the world believes. Here's why the world's wrong. Here's why I have kind of a unique angle that can help you. Here's how it can help you. Opt into this, and then I will kind of really be very empathetic on the email follow-up until I close the sale on it. So it's a cool process, and it seems like it's worked well enough for you. Is this, in terms of the impact it's had on your business, like how important has this been for the success of your business?
Huge, and not in the way that I would expect it. Obviously, it's made millions of dollars, so two thumbs for that. But like for me, when I like going through this process, I did it pretty early on with Coach Pony and sitting down and trying to just map out the SOI and be like, what do I believe? What do they believe? How do I get these things together? Like what must they know in order to believe what I believe? All this stuff. It really helped me, like the systems, the five systems actually came from that process. Like it helped me articulate the differentiator of my business in a way I never would have been able to do if I had not gone through this process. So it like really helped me stand, like, you know, Coach Pony is a company. It's not just me. I'm not a solo entrepreneur. Like we're a team, but it helped me just stand out from all the other business coaches out there, right? And programs out there to just really like ground us in something that felt concrete and real and tangible and helpful. So I don't know if I would have gotten there without doing this exercise.
Yeah. Well, thank you for walking us through all that. The last thing that I'd love to talk about before we kind of wrap up with the lightning round here is you had mentioned before we hit record too, that you've been thinking a lot more about how do you build a business and get clients and generate leads without social media, without the internet, but definitely without social media. And talk about that a little bit, would you? Like, why is that? Why are you thinking more about that? Why are you excited about that? And how are you trying to do that without the internet? I think a lot of people think that and they're just like, that's impossible. I can't do it. It can't be done.
Yeah, that's a great question. So weirdly, I was never really on social media for the first 5-6 years of my business. Like I'm just not that person. And so I built a really successful business without it, not even realizing that that was kind of made me an outlier. And I should say a successful online business. Like it wasn't just a small scale networking word of mouth business. Like it was a global business and I built it without social media. And so like I had that realization and then, you know, social media became more and more prevalent and, you know, everyone came on it and coaches kept being like, I don't want to market because I don't want to be on social media. And I was like, you don't have to be. And people were like blown away by this information. And so it's been some of the most sort of like requested information. And I think for me personally too, I feel like after COVID there's like, I got on social media more just as like a lurker. I'm like, what is like, I didn't even start using Instagram myself until my ads manager made me like in 2019 or 2020 or something. Like I wasn't even on there as a person. And so I just feel like there's a backlash to it. We all kind of need a break. We all understand now more than ever how bad it is for our mental health. I don't think it's really good for anyone ultimately. There's some good things about it, but it doesn't, I mean, it kind of brings out the worst of humanity and makes, you know, and it's a hard business model. I mean, it's a really lucrative one for some people, but it's a hard business. It's a hard marketing model to follow because of the relentlessness of it all. So I just wanted to, and backlash to that. And just the way I was feeling, I'm like, man, I do not want to be on social media. Like I got deep into Twitter. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Like, so I'm like, I need to be on it less and we should be talking about this more because I don't think it's actually good for us. And I also want people to know you don't have to do it. Like you can, if you want. And for some people it's great and that's awesome, but there are other opportunities and solutions out there if you don't want to be there. And so we just did a webinar last week about this.
What have been the most effective non-social media, maybe even offline ways you have found to grow your business?
Well, there's definitely, I mean, there's a little bit of like, what do you consider offline? So on the Coach Pony podcast, we drop one that's all about local, completely offline. So if you're interested, there's a deep dive on that. But like the four that I highlighted for my community was one is just writing. But everything is about writing for other people's audiences, because usually as entrepreneurs, and I speak to an audience of new entrepreneurs for the most part. So they themselves don't have a community or audience to market to. So like guest blogging, guest posting, writing for outlets that already have an existing audience, and then inviting them back into your world. Guesting on podcasts that already have an existing audience and using that as a way to get the word out to their existing audience and inviting them back into your world. Guest speaking, huge one. Get in front of an audience in real life. I think there's definitely a push. I think we all want to be in person more. So there's such a good time now to be out there speaking for free to groups that want to get interesting information and then using that as a platform to market yourself as a coach. And the final one is super personal and it's referral partners. So just developing a network of people and referring business to each other and trying to find people who are really good about that and might have a small community of their own, even if it's just their network. And doing those like, hey, you should definitely reach out to XYZ Coach. They're wonderful. Here's why. And just sending that email to someone and letting them know, or coming across for coach. This is a specific for coaches, but coming across someone in a sales consult that's not a fit for you, why not refer them to another coach that might be a better fit for them? And everyone wins. You might get a referral bonus. The client gets a great coach. The other coach gets a great client. So yeah, those were four ways that just, I thought for four different types of personalities, right? I was trying to pick ways that would appeal to different skill sets and communication styles.
That's interesting. Yeah. I haven't talked a lot about this, but there's so much. You mentioned social media. It's like this endless beast that you have to be providing content to. It's just this, you know, just insatiable monster that you have to feed every day or however often it is. And I think too, that like, when I look at my business, the two that have been so instrumental, one, like over the last 5 years, our organic traffic, and again, I kind of cut my teeth in e-commerce with SEO and really lagged on it the last 3 or 4 years. And our organic traffic is down probably 80 or 90% from where it was 5 years ago, which is, if you would just look at that in and of itself, you'd think that's catastrophic. The business is on life support if it exists, right? But the business has slowly, steadily grown because two things. One, like podcast, owned media, I just consistently done it every week for 10 years. Don't have to worry about algorithms changing. It's a direct communication line. That's been wonderful. That's the number two largest channel for inbound members of our community. The number one though is just word of mouth, like just people referring, and it's slower, right? Like I think in the future, as attention gets more scarce, as it gets harder to do it for longer periods of time, the people that can go the distance or the people that can just keep pivoting, because a lot of times people come up, they get really good SEO and the SEO changes and they have to figure everything out from scratch. And as you get older, like it gets harder to pivot and relearn everything, right?
Yes.
And, you know, and that gets harder. And so if you want to be able to stay in the game for a long amount of time and get that compounding, if you can play in games where you don't have to rebuild your entire knowledge base every 3 to 5 to 6 or 7 years, like it's such a huge facet. So I think companies that can grow more slowly, consistently, will be the ones that win. Anyway, but that number one source for us is word of mouth. And we haven't grown nearly as fast as we could have. We've left a lot of money on the table in terms of paid traffic. We could have used that to leverage to grow more quickly in e-commerce and on the community side. But the thing I am thankful for is like, I can keep investing in those channels more deeply, and the chance of them being around in 2, 3, 5 years are pretty good.
Yes, exactly. And I think about, I mean, every few years, something is dead. You know, email is dead every few years. And then newsletters, like writing was dead, right? And then Substack came, you know, and it's very much alive, right? Like, so it's just like, we go through these cycles where some of these like really traditional forms of communication, people are like, oh, it's dead, but it's never dead. There's always, if you have these basic skills, there's always ways to kind of infuse that into your business. And so I agree with you. I think word of mouth is going to become even more important, because as attention gets more scarce, as we struggle to curate any information at all, because we're so overwhelmed, well, just when someone says, oh, XYZ is good, you're going to be like even that much more likely to trust it, because you just don't have time.
Well, I would say it's, you don't have time. And also the people and the outlets and the sources you trust just shrinks by the hour, right? Like Yelp is totally any online reviews I read, I'm so dubious of anything I read online. And the only people that I trust are people I know that I have a personal relationship with, and I know that they're not going to try to screw me over, or they're not trying to like make money on me, right? Like it takes, you know, people that like I've met in person, I've had meals with, like there's a medium to deep level of rapport. Like those people, you know, they're not selling you out for a $25 commission on, you know, the affiliate network. So anyway, I think that's the distrust of online information is making word of mouth so much more powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one we should all be investing in, because just having that network in your life is so good for your mental health, you know, and I mean, also great for your business. So it's a win-win for sure.
Yeah. You did an unbelievable job of talking about selling Coach Pony without actually selling Coach Pony. So kudos to that, focusing on the marketing side. But for people who are listening, a lot of people are listening that are just candidly, not a lot of probably potential coaches in the audience, a lot more people probably that are business owners, but I'd imagine there's a few, and people maybe even that know other coaches who could benefit from this. So can you talk a little bit about Coach Pony, Revolutionary Club and also the podcast that you do. So people who might be a good fit have all the details.
Yeah. So for anyone who likes what I have to say and wants to get into the topic of getting paid to coach, the Coach Pony Get Paid to Coach podcast exists. We do seasons like HBO. We have sonic audio themes, which are hilarious. Like currently it's the 80s. Last season it was Bridgerton. So like we have a lot of fun and it's fun, informative, 20, 25 minute podcast, short, sweet, to the point, helpful. And then check out coachpony.com for anyone who is thinking about getting into coaching. It's an incredibly lucrative industry. All the data scientists, all the predictions say it's only going to continue to grow as companies like Google and other places continue to emphasize coaching as a skill. And as people recognize how important it is to have a coach in their lives, like you, Andrew, you got your first coach recently, right? So I think it's becoming more and more common. And so it's still a very growing field. So if that's of interest to you, come to coachpony.com. We have tons of free resources on how to start and grow your coaching business. And the Revolutionary Club is out there for anyone who's just lost and you need some help on what to do with your career. And there's some great free resources there. And some that's like where we're focused almost entirely on free resources in e-commerce. We don't have any sort of live group programs or private coaching there. So it's a fun place to check out if you like that. Or if you just want to see my terrible writing from 2013, check that out as well.
Anyone who's lost, your website is going to go down from the traffic surge here that just is going to overtake it.
Yeah. But my goal is really to create the best community for coaches. So if you're in that, if you know of someone who's just feeling lost in their coaching business or who wants that community and wants that like truth telling and helpful information, then we are for you and we'd love to have you.
Love it. Christy, would be a lot of fun to do a quick lightning round here before we cap this off. So pretty straightforward. I'm going to fire some questions at you. Give me your quick gut take, one or two word or one or two sentence answers. And the first question is, how do you describe the e-commerce environment right now in a couple words? How do you describe the coaching or the online marketing? Let's do coaching or online marketing, whichever one you want to take there, environments in one to two words or one to three words.
Coaching environment, super strong, super strong. Online marketing has been going through some things. Online marketing, I'm optimistic about. I think we all went through some things with the privacy rules that came into play in 2021. And many of us like faced some earthquakes as that came into play. But
coaching, you said, is strong. What is driving the strength in coaching right now?
I think a couple things. I think coaching is where therapy was 20 years ago. Like, I think everyone is comfortable with a therapist. We all see the need for therapy. Therapy is covered by medical, often by our healthcare plans. I think coaching is becoming more that way. We all see the power of having a coach work with us. And the way I see it from several levels, I see individuals now, I feel like people talk about, oh, I'm meeting with my coach, the way you used to say, I'm meeting with my therapist. Like that's becoming more and more common. So just in the daily, anecdotally, in the daily vernacular.
What's one of the fondest memories you have from your childhood?
I'm very tall. I'm 5'8". When I was little, my dad used to dance me around on his feet. And that was really nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
You're also a huge sci-fi fan. We probably spent way too much time talking about different series and books and stuff. Doesn't have to be your favorite, the crowning favorite, because that's a hard thing to answer, but one of your favorite sci-fi series and then one of your favorite in terms of like film, TV, whatever it is, the visual medium, and then one of your favorite sci-fi series in terms of the written book form.
Okay. I have two in terms of the book form, one sci-fi fantasy. So fantasy is Mercedes Lackey, the Valdemar books. So awesome. If you're a fan of like talking horses, you're gonna love these. I gotta say like I've read Wheel of Time. I've read Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones is dark, but it's such a good story. And I just pray to God George R. R. Martin finishes it, because I have questions. So for books, for online series, right, for shows right now, we were talking and it's for me right now, but that's partially because I'm watching it, Foundation. The second season is so much better than the first. I almost wanted to give up on it in the first season, but now I am all in. I'm all in that. And it's definitely sci-fi. It's not fantasy. And it's phenomenal. The cinematography is phenomenal. The acting is phenomenal. And the story is so much richer and more complex. It's got more Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones was always so great because the story was so complex and interesting. And there were things you didn't know that were like, that paid off. And Foundation is revealing itself to be that way now. And so it's got everything that I like.
What's the hardest part of your business?
I think marketing is always a challenge because, to your point, there's always things that are new and changing and you have to learn. And sometimes you don't want to learn. You just don't want to learn.
Here's the squirmiest question of the lightning round. How much money is enough? So you can either answer this one of two ways. You can either lump sum in the bank. If I have, you know, 5, 10, 20 million, whatever it is. If I had more, that'd be great. But if this was all I had for my life to live a good, happy, content life, I'd be content. Or you can do it as an annual income. So like 500K is enough, a million is enough, whatever it is per year, annuity for life annually. One of those two, you can pick your poison there. How much is enough?
So a couple of years ago, my husband and I went wine tasting. I'm in California, everyone, if you're curious. So we were in like Napa Valley. We got drunk at a champagne place and we started talking about this. And so we made a list. And I remember we were like, what is the craziest stuff you want? I'm like, okay, obviously we'll take a yacht trip. And then we have a personal chef. And then I was like, and then a butler, you know, I was just listing crazy stuff. And we were like, okay, well, how much do we need in the bank to be able to pay for all of this? And we actually started to run out of ideas. And I think the number was, it was like $12 million in the bank would pay for every crazy idea from a, you know, if we just lived off the interest or something, every crazy idea that we had. So that was like, okay, like literally we can't think of anything else to add to this list.
That's a really good backstory for how you got there too. A lot of people do not have a backstory. I love that you do. So
yeah. And what that came was, we were like, yeah, we actually don't need this much money because some of these ideas are just insane.
Well, you don't need a butler to be happy. Are you sure? Like,
yeah,
shocked.
Yeah. I was like, and his name will be Jeeves and he'll be British. And so we're like, okay, so we pay a butler, what, $250,000? We're just trying to like figure out, what do you pay a butler? You know, I mean, it was insane.
And as you're having this slightly tipsy conversation at like a 11 out of 10 volume, you see people kind of just like leaving from around you and creating the space.
Yeah. Yeah. We totally shut that place down. Like, we were the table that they stopped serving, right? You know, we kept like demanding more cheese. So there was a lot of champagne. And they were like, please leave. And I was like, but what about my butler? I don't know. Will he be on the yacht? Do I need a separate butler for the yacht? No. Anyway, it was insane. And it was very, very silly, but it was a good conversation because you actually like, one of the things I always learn, I'm about to take a month-long trip. I'm leaving tomorrow, is to be happy. What I really just need is my friends, some chocolate, like my computer, some bad TV, and like a really good pair of sweatpants. And truly, like, there's very little in the world that you actually need to be happy. And so travel always reminds me of that.
Yeah. How many hours a week do you work on average?
It really varies. It's more during bigger, like we have sort of launch cycles 3 times a year. So I work more then, but I do not work a 40-hour week almost ever. There's occasional where I might work a 50-hour week, but often it's like closer to 30, maybe. Take a lot of breaks. I enjoy some naps. You know, I definitely could work more. There's always more work to do. You know, I mean, everyone listening knows this, like I could work a lot more, but I don't know. It doesn't seem like a fun way to live.
Number one hobby, and you can't say work or sci-fi.
Reading. Yeah, absolutely. I love to read. Agatha Christie is my favorite author. Just putting that out there.
In case you're listening, Agatha, and you want to get in touch. So
yeah.
Christie, thank you.
Too bad she died.
Oh, shoot. Well,
she died in 1976 before I was born, but we love her anyway. She's the most popular author after the Bible and Shakespeare.
Wow.
Most books sold. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. You can tell I'm not an Agatha Christie or a murder mystery fan here. Really botched the landing on that one. So
no, you did great. You did great.
Christie, this has been phenomenal. Again, check out her work over at coachpony.com, therevolutionaryclub.com, or of course you listen to podcasts. So Coach Pony Podcast, wherever you find podcasts. This has been, thank you for walking through all the psychology behind it, your thoughts on marketing and everything else. This was a lot of fun. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you everyone. I hope this helps.
Given you've made it to the end of the episode, there's a pretty good chance you're fairly serious about this e-commerce stuff, which is why you should check out the E-Commerce Fuel community. It's a vetted, vibrant community for 7- and 8-figure brand owners. And joining gives you access to a lively discussion forum for experienced founders sharing insights and getting help, access to our library of over 20,000 member reviews on everything from agencies to tech to lawyers to all the things that, you know, founders are making hiring decisions or purchasing decisions on to run their business, and invites to member events throughout the year. So if that sounds interesting, you can apply for membership and learn more at ecommercefuel.com.
Big thanks to one-click upsell from Zipify Apps. Rapidly increase your AOV by offering targeted high-converting upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell, and also to Fulfill.io, an ERP designed specifically to streamline complex e-commerce businesses and the highest rated ERP among our community members. Learn more at ecommercefuel.com/fulfill. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network, live from New York.